Featuring the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Right, a series win on the road against a quality opponent. Against the East. All right. This has been a much better end to the road trip than the beginning. The Brewers have won a series. They win today 8-5 over the Bravos. And they'll go for the sweep tomorrow. And even take the season series if they sweep tomorrow over the Braves. Hi, everybody. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. We're going until the top of the hour tonight. We'll go till 10. The Brewers get the victory. I'm flying solo. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Tonight was as relentless of a night that we have seen in a while, or even maybe undaunted is a better word today for what the Brewers did, specifically against Chris Sale and what they managed to do offensively today. On the surface, you see 16 strikeouts and no home runs, and I tell you, yeah, they dominated the game. And you're like, how? The Brewers had constant, relentless, if you will, pressure on Sale and on the Braves all night long. And one night always leads to the next. And yesterday, being able to get to their bullpen relatively early, getting to Bryce Elder, chasing him in the fourth, not even allowing Chris Sale to complete five innings today. Every day leads to the next. So I imagine tomorrow the Brewers still have the advantage bullpen-wise. Yes, they use their leverage arms today, but they will be available again tomorrow. The Brewers, they mashed out 16 hits. It's amazing what the Brewers have been doing. 8 walks, matching a season high. They had, 14 hits yesterday? And keep the good times rolling. 16 hits, back-to-back games with 16 hits. Yesterday, they were 8-for-21 with runners in scoring position. Tonight, they were 6-for-22. So you add it up, that is 14-for-43 over the last 2 days, which is a .326 batting average. Not only are they getting the job done with runners in scoring position, they're getting more and more opportunities. That's when this team is firing on all cylinders. Highlights of the night, four different players having 3-hit nights. That's certainly a welcome sight for the crew. Churio had 3 hits. Hoskins had 3 hits. You had Ortiz had 3 hits. And Blake Perkins had 3 hits. That's the second time this season the Brewers have had a quartet of players have a 3-hit or more game. And here's the best part of this stat. The previous time it happened was against the White Sox back on May 31st. That game, it was Christian Yelich's 5-hit game, William Contreras, Bryce Terang, and Sal Frelick. Tonight, it's 4 different players. Churio, Hoskins, Ortiz, and Perkins. It's somebody different every single night. The Brewers kept pressure up. They forced Sale to allow a season-high 9 hits despite 10 strikeouts. Chris Sale still had the goods with the slider, but the Brewers had extremely patient at-bats against him, understood that they had to attack on fastballs and changeups when they got them. The slider just had no business trying to attack that pitch. And, of course, 10 strikeouts. There was some nervous energy in there for a while, but taking advantage of an error in the third inning to make it a one-run game. At that time, they were trailing 2-0. The error by Soler allowed Gary to score from first on a double, which was not a guarantee even with 2 outs. For them to score in that regard was huge to make it 2-1. And then the leadoff man getting on again in the 5th inning against Chris Sale, the 3rd time through. It all started with Rhys Hoskins pulling a single to the left side with 2 strikes. Then Gary Sanchez going to the opposite field with 2 strikes. And a great read by Rhys on that one as well, going first to third on a ball that wasn't hit terribly hard, but was still kind of a tweener that you couldn't tell for certain if Soler was going to have a chance on. Rhys gambled. He won. It put men on the corners. For a moment, it looked like Sale was going to get out of it, getting back-to-back strikeouts to Contreras and Adames. But again, with 2 strikes and 2 outs, Joey Ortiz, he's my MVP of the game today. Ortiz dumps a single to left center field to score a run. Perkins follows up with an ambush single, chases Chris Sale from the game. You blink, the Brewers suddenly have the lead, and it's 3-2. And then they responded again in the sixth when they lost the lead because of Austin Riley. So the Brewers just, again, the undaunted and relentless words. Sometimes it gets old talking about that, but it's the truth when you see games like this. They had two outs and two men on against Chris Sale, thinking, oh man, he just struck out the two best hitters on the team, striking out Contreras and Adames. How the heck is Ortiz, who had been slumping coming into this week, going to get it done? Perkins, who hasn't played in a couple of days, no big deal. Undaunted. Then they just kept adding on. Eight batters to the plate in the fifth inning. Nine batters to the plate in the sixth inning. A couple more runs scored in the eighth inning. That is relentless baseball. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you want to join us here on the program, I got a few texts that have rolled in here already. Want to remind you, though, that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Back with more after this. Brewers win 8-5 on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win. Fun one tonight. They've won the series. They'll go for the sweep tomorrow. Charlie Morton will get the ball for the Braves. Frankie Montas will get the ball for the Brew Crew. I'm Dominic Catronio. 8-5 victory today. A couple of texts that have rolled in here. 855-616-1620. This one from Doug. The Brewers have two rookies with Ortiz and Churio who should be in the top five of Rookie of the Year. How often does that happen? Not much. Now, Doug, I hate to burst your bubble. I think only one of them is going to be top five in Rookie of the Year, and at this rate, it's probably going to be Churio. Very quietly, Jackson Churio is above 270, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pulling up his numbers right now. Jackson Churio, now, remember, earlier in the year, he was down to like 202. He never got below the Mendoza line, but he flirted with it. Right now, 100 games into Jackson Churio's big league career, he is hitting 272. A 316 on base, which is about league average. 737 OPS, well above league average. 12 homers, 15 doubles, 15 stolen bases. Pretty impressive stuff from the 20-year-old here tonight. I think he's going to get certain consideration. Look, if you had to ask me right now who's the rookie of the year, it's Paul Skeens. I don't see him slowing down anytime soon unless something really implodes over these last 7 weeks of the season. You do have to still give consideration on a technicality to Shota Imanaga because Shota is still technically a Major League Baseball stateside rookie, even though he has played in Japan professionally, but that's just the nature of the rule. Like, he's allowed to still be a Rookie of the Year. Jackson Merrill with the Padres should be getting some consideration as well. Jackson Churio will be getting some consideration, but for me, it's still Paul Skeens. This text coming from Ringo and Goodman. The Crew, they're just 12-14 over their last 5 weeks, and yet they've only lost one game on the division lead. And if Philly loses tonight, they'll be two losses back of the best records in baseball. And if the Dodgers lose tonight, they'll be tied in losses for the second best record in the National League. Everything is right there for the taking with 49 to go. You're absolutely right. Ringo, this is what I've been talking about with the Brewers. As bad as it's gone, the last 3-4 weeks or so, the rut that they have been in, notice, misery loves company. The Phillies have been struggling. The Cardinals have been playing better, but they still haven't been able to gain on the Brewers. The Pirates are coming back down to earth, and what we all thought of them with their offense is reigning true. The Dodgers have even slowed up. Now, Mookie Betts, he is coming back soon. He may even come back against the Brewers next week, deciding if they want to put him on a rehab assignment or not. I know he's hitting batting practice again. They've weathered their storm without Mookie. They just got Miggy Rojas back. They had to play a week without Freddie Freeman, who's had a family emergency, obviously, if you haven't heard the news, with his son Max. But they've had a storm that they've had to weather, too. All this to say, with 49 games to go, the fact that the Brewers are certainly loitering right now, they're hanging out in this top three seed. Right now, the Dodgers are leading the Phillies 4-1 in the top of the fourth inning. Let's just, for the sake of this show, assume that's a victory for the Dodgers. They'll improve to 67-48, which will tie them with the Phillies in wins, but they'll be two back in the loss column. Well, the Brewers are 64 and 49 with a four-game series next week against the Dodgers. So that's going to be a big piece to look out for in a week. The Brewers tonight, though, we'll talk about Freddie in the next segment, a little more in depth. But tonight, I just want to spend one more segment talking about the offense here. 16 hits, only two extra base hits, both of them from Joey Ortiz. And we talked about Tito a little bit last night. Seeing him go to the opposite field, I thought was really important for him. Seeing a clean single in the sixth inning, he had the chopper for the RBI single in the second inning yesterday. And then tonight, lines a double down the right field line in the third inning. That was over Matt Olson's head. That scored the first run of the game for the Brewers. Then just dumps a two-strike slider into left center field off of Chris Sale for a base hit. Then he draws a tough walk against A.J. Minter to keep the inning alive. And then Perkins later has the two-run single there in the sixth inning. And then he pulls an RBI double on the eighth pitch of his at-bat in the eighth inning. It's been a minute since we've seen Ortiz pull a ball with authority. I think these are some of the adjustments. I was talking to the folks with TBS yesterday, as you know, with Bob Casas and Ron Darling. And Ron Darling was asking me, what's going on with Ortiz? Because he had such a great start to the year. We were talking about him in New York and being a Rookie of the Year candidate, and then he slowed down. I said, the league made an adjustment to him. The league realized he doesn't like the inner third. He likes to extend. He likes to put it the other way. He likes to hit it up the middle. So he gets a pitch that he's able to pull, and he pulls it with authority. I thought that was a huge sign that, okay, he's getting it now. He's understanding how teams are trying to attack him for the rest of this season, right? He got beat on a back foot slider earlier in the game against Chris Sale. Makes the adjustment, goes out in front and gets it, talking to Connor Dawson and Ozzie Timmons, hitting coaches of the Brewers, asking about Joey Ortiz. I said, you know, for a guy's approach, still already being good, wanting to go to the opposite field and up the middle most often, but how do you make the adjustment to a guy that his bread and butter is being able to go to the opposite field? And they said, look, it's not going to change what you're good at as far as hitting it the other way. But sometimes you have to understand your own scouting report and go out and catch it out in front a little bit sooner. Start things a little bit sooner. The worst case scenario is if you're identifying and ready a little bit sooner, you can still identify a breaking ball and shoot it the other way like you know you're good at. And we're seeing Joey Ortiz kick this into high gear. A three-hit game for him tonight, his first three-hit game since May, and also multiple extra base hits for him. But then the other 14 hits, and also eight walks, mind you, had the Brewers 14 singles and eight walks. So 22 single bases for the Brewers on those, and then just the two doubles from Ortiz. No wonder they left so many runners on base. And to borrow a golf term here, you know, this was the fewest runs the Brewers could have scored tonight. Only scoring eight runs and still going 6 for 22 with runners in scoring position. They left 14 on base. They had a caught stealing. They ran wild today as well. Four stolen bases in the game, two from Jackson and two from Blake. Another complete win, just like yesterday. The pitching, though, maybe not as complete as it was yesterday, obviously allowing a few runs, but man, the Brewers to come in here to Atlanta after having a tough series loss against the Nationals has calmed the waters a bit. But one of the things that is murky in these waters is what's going on with Freddie Peralta. Let's take a deeper dive into his start tonight. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 is the phone number. You can call in, you can text in. Let's talk about Freddie. What's going on? It wasn't that bad of a day. He still gets the W, but let's talk about it next on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win 8-5. Freddie Peralta gets a win, his seventh of the year. The Brewers beat up Chris Sale and the bullpen of the Braves. Pierce Johnson specifically gets the loss today. I'm Dom Catronio. 855-616-1620. If you're hanging out late with us here tonight, here in Atlanta, no show tomorrow with it being a day game, but we do have Brewers Weekly tomorrow night. It will be a recorded show here on the podcast feed and live on the show. You'll hear Josh Maurer's conversation with Bob Costas earlier this week, talking a lot about... All right, sorry about the technical difficulties. Sometimes when you do these road shows, the Rode Wi-Fi just doesn't agree with you, and that's okay. It's no big deal. But as we break down Freddy Peralta's start tonight, 5 innings, 8 hits, 4 runs, all earned, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts, 1 home run. First inning, Freddy struck again tonight. And first innings for any starter is the hard one. That's something you have to always be wary of. Everybody really struggles in the first inning. And Freddie's numbers certainly agree with that statement. And these numbers are coming into tonight. They do not include tonight's effort. But now, in the first inning this season, opponents against Freddy Peralta coming into the night, 15 earned runs. So add 2 more tonight. 17 earned runs in 23 innings this season. Let's just go ahead and do the math live in case you're wondering. 17 times 9, that's 153. 153 divided by 23. That is a 6.65 ERA in the first inning. 6 of his home runs have been allowed in the first inning. Today, it was back-to-back doubles to lead off the game, and then a sacrifice fly. So to only allow 2 runs after having 1 run in and a man on second and nobody out, quite frankly, did his job to limit the damage there, but that's when it clicked back into gear for Freddy Peralta. Thought he did a nice job the rest of that inning. Got Duvall to strike out to end the frame. Sean Murphy to strike out on a right-on-right changeup in a 1-2-3 second. Got a walk, then got a double play in the third. Got another double play in the fourth inning, and he was humming along. He was at 66 pitches through 4 innings. The Brewers had just got on the board, and then they took the lead in the top of the fifth inning. Now, the fifth inning, I turned to my broadcast mates, and I said, this is going to be the biggest inning for Freddie tonight. Not just because the Brewers had just taken the lead and because it was a shutdown frame, but because he was going to have to face the top of the order for a third time through. And we talked about third time through a lot on Sunday against the Nationals when the Brewers decided not to send Tobias Myers back out there for a third time through. Ultimately, the bullpen blew it in that game in the sixth inning. Freddie was not going to get pulled in this game, given he's your guy near the top of the rotation, and it's only the fifth inning. And his pitch count was still in decent shape, especially striking out Kelnick to open the inning, an innocent single by Whit Merrifield. Then he strikes out Jorge Soler, and in that was when Brian Snitker got ejected. But you got 2 outs and a man on first base and Austin Riley coming up. At that point, you know, you're not panicking about his pitch count. He's at 78 for the game before starting the at-bat with Riley. I'm not taking him out for the third time through with a one-run lead. You have to trust Freddie in these situations. All it really does is I stand by my take from Sunday. It's like, man, I really would have liked to see Tobias get a shot a third time through. And he didn't, and the Brewers lost the game on Sunday, but that's in the past. Let's focus on tonight. Falls behind 2-0 on Austin Riley. Now, I saw some folks complaining about him throwing a changeup to Riley on 2-0. It was just a bad changeup. It was poorly executed. I didn't think it was a bad selection. It was poor execution. Austin Riley has been hot. And let's also not act like the Braves or the Chicago White Sox, with all due respect. Like, Austin Riley and the Braves, that 1-5 in this order, especially yesterday, maybe not with Arcia in it today, but 1-4 today, Soler, Riley, Ozuna, Olsen, that's really darn good. That is something to really be worried about. You always kind of have your eyes wandering, getting ready to face those guys. But since mid-June, coming into tonight, Austin Riley's hitting .313. His OPS is nearly 1,000. The dude's hot. And when you do not execute and you hang a 2-0 changeup, he's going to punish you. And it took the lead from there. And then for Freddie to walk Marcell Ozuna, again, talking about this intimidating lineup, and then a soft single by Matt Olson, having men on the corners, the bullpen's moving. You had Arcia coming up next, and he strike out Arcia. So all 3 outs in that fifth inning were strikeouts. We didn't see like those big, long ABs that we had seen all season long sometimes from Freddie, as I'm trying to get the light back on in here. Anyway, we'll roll on here without it. But the Brewers got what they minimum asked from Freddy Peralta today. Give us 5, face the lineup a couple of times, third time through, but the Braves are really darn good. I'm not trying to say like Freddy's start was fantastic, because there were things that he could have improved on, but he didn't execute on a 2-0 changeup. And if you're thinking, oh, he should have thrown a fastball, it's like, well, Austin Riley, again, it's like you're kind of already in a tough spot with the go-ahead run at the plate against one of the hottest hitters in the game right now. For Freddy, of course, we want him to see go deeper into the games, especially after Colin Ray did it last night. We've seen Tobias Myers do it multiple times. I don't know if you can draw, you know, for certain, say, yes, Colin Ray is my game one starter if the Brewers are in the playoffs. I think you're leaning that way, obviously. We've talked about that before. But Freddie, you know, with this bullpen, as they slowly get healthier, Brian Hudson pitched tonight in AAA. He's eligible to come off the IL tomorrow. Trevor McGill will throw next week. Inoli Paredes will throw later this week. Bukauskas is on rehab right now. Like, there are arms coming back, and the bullpen will feel a lot fresher here pretty soon. And if Freddie can get you six innings in the postseason, he can dive after that. But knowing what you have in the bullpen lurking, you can survive with that as well. So that's just my Freddie takes here on the night. I thought he pitched fine. He didn't pitch great. He pitched around some contact. Only the fourth time in his career he's had multiple double plays turned behind him on the ground. He's not a ground ball pitcher. Pitched to a lot of contact, but the Braves are a team that isn't afraid to put the ball in play. So Freddie's next start will likely come against the Dodgers again. And they had a great game plan against him in L.A. How is he going to adjust next week? Let's talk a little bit about the bullpen. That's coming up next. The Brewers bullpen. We got to see a lot of the main guys and how they seem to factor in here down the stretch. 49 games to go. Brewers win 8-5 on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Dom Catronio here. Talk a little bullpen here. How great they were tonight, very quietly. Saw Devin and Jarrett Koenig and Nick Mears. Good stuff from them as well. 855-616-1620. Let's get to the phone lines here. Tomas and McQuanago has been waiting patiently. Tomas, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I at first wanted to just talk about how awesome the team has really felt. I mean, outside of outliers, I know we haven't won so many series in a row, but even Freddie tonight was really solid. I was going to remark, I don't think I've seen too many double plays behind him. And how many have there been this season for him? I feel like he's suffered from a bit of rough luck. But I really wanted to ask, if it comes down to it, would we have to end up using Yelly's spot for maybe something like additions to the bullpen if it came down to it at the end of the season?
The thing about the roster rules, though, is you're not allowed to have more than 13 pitchers. So even if Yelly, you know, doesn't play the rest of the season, you can't just say, well, let's just go get another reliever. It doesn't work like that. And even when the rosters expand to 28 players in September, you're still only allowed to add one more pitcher, a limit of 14 pitchers. So that's one thing there. And you're right on the tough luck for Freddie. He's been pitching to a little more contact as of late, which is okay with me. If he's going to end ABs faster by pitching to contact, I'm all for that with him. Appreciate the call, Thomas. Thanks for joining us here on the program. When it comes to the Brewers' bullpen, though, Nick Mears, for one, I thought, I know he had the rough go of it last week against these Braves, giving up the back-to-back homers, and I had said, oh, why didn't you just use Mears? And then he gives up the homer. He's like, see, managing's hard. But this is where I'm not trying to do a victory lap after just a handful of outings, but just looking at the underlying metrics and some of the StatCast stuff and the stuff that, you know, nerds like me like to look at, the stuff's incredible. Like I hesitate on like calling out the Rockies, but look, man, it is so hard to pitch in Colorado. Part of the reason why it's so hard to pitch in Colorado is not just because you're pitching in altitude for the majority of your starts. Your stuff changes from when you're in altitude to when you're down. So like maybe one day you're throwing a flat ground and your stuff looks really good here in Atlanta, but then your next outing is in Colorado and you have to recalibrate for that. It is so hard to pitch in that scenario. Now he knows for the rest of the season, he is going to be pitching at proper sea level-ish. I mean, Atlanta's sneaky, one of the highest elevated stadiums in the game. I think it's like 500 feet up. It's second or third behind Arizona, which is about 1,000 feet up. So, but even then, it's negligible differences to what the pitches are doing to compare to what it was doing in Colorado. Nick Mears looked nasty. Yoel Pionce got back on the horse. He had the hard assignment, having to face the top of the order. He got Soler looking. He got Riley to walk, but that was a great battle, 9 pitches long. And then he got Ozuna to fly out. he got the really hard, the short straw. And then Koenig, all three of his outs in the eighth inning were strikeouts. And then you remember, it's like, wait a minute, Hudson's due back soon. D.L. Hall will be in this pitching staff in some capacity. You have Devin Williams back. Trevor McGill will be back, hopefully, you know, definitely by the end of the month, hopefully in the next 2 weeks or so. And then all of a sudden you realize it becomes like at the end of last season when the entire bullpen is the quote-unquote A bullpen, right? Where you're able to use anybody in any situation. And if you get length out of the starters, huh, good night. Like, remember last year when Piguero was rolling, Uribe was rolling, even Hobie was rolling. You knew you had Devin. McGill was finding his footing as well. Now, you can look at a bullpen combination of some sort as the Brewers figure this out. And I've said this before. You've got five or six options in leverage. Devin, McGill, you've got Koenig, you've got Mears, and quite frankly, you should still keep Pyomps and or Piguero in that list too. I mean, that's six, seven, that's your entire bullpen that can handle leverage. That's really, really important as you head closer to October with 49 games to go. Everyone talks about offense and starting pitching or pitching wins. I'm telling you, man, I am getting so many 2018 vibes from this team. There may not be household names in the starting rotation. They may have underperformed to some. But, man, you know how good Chacin was on that 2018 team. Maybe Colin Ray will be that guy for this 2024 team. Or the bullpen having a three-headed monster. And the guys out of that pen, obviously, you know, Hader, and you had Knable, and you had Jeffress. I mean, nasty, nasty stuff. I mean, we've seen similar type things from this bullpen. So I'm excited to see it all kind of coming together. The storm is passing, and you can see the light at the end of the tunnel here. The Brewers are going to get healthier and better down the stretch. We're going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next. Highlights a little bit later on in the program as well. As the crew, they get a victory. They're having fun. They're getting ready to go for a sweep tomorrow in a few hours, 12:20 first pitch Eastern time, so 11:20 Central. We're on the air at 10:45. It's going to be a quick little turnaround here. But the Brewers get the victory today. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Petronio. Doug texting in, if the playoffs started tomorrow, who would be your starting pitcher? I think I kind of hedged and showed you. I would go Colin Ray. I really would. I think that's your answer. And then hopefully you get a victory. And then you hand the ball to Freddie Peralta. And you know what he's capable of. You know he can get you a victory. And then Tobias Myers would probably go game three unless Frankie Montas really auditions well over these last 7 weeks or so with 49 games to go. It's going to be very, very fun to watch. The manager was in a good mood, rightly so. Another come-from-behind victory, another game in which they out-hit their opponent. The Brewers are now 48-4 when they out-hit their opponent. Seems like a pretty easy formula, right? Well, if only it was that easy. Here's the manager, Pat Murphy, after today's 8-5 win.
Well, I mean, when you talk about how relentless our offense was today, it was relentless. And there wasn't a lot of extra base hits, but, you know, it was relentless. And the other thing is, you look at guys like Ortiz, Perkins, and Monasterio, and Churio. Look at those four guys, who none of them hitting in the middle of the order, but Ortiz, people were kind of worried about after that neck injury, and he just back to his form, and he was tremendous tonight. I mean, at least four quality. Perkins, four quality. Five quality, actually, but four for sure. Monasterio, four quality. Churio, four quality. You know, that's what we're looking for, you know, like guys that are putting together that many quality at-bats a night against, you know, look, we faced Chris Sale. You know what I mean? Like, this guy's one of the best in the game, and he made big pitches at big times. I mean, he was tremendous, but just hung in there, ran the pitch count up, got him out of there somehow, had some things go our way, but we left a small village, you know, on base. But then we kept pecking away. Instead of getting discouraged, we kept pecking away. And you got to credit the guys. I mean, and again, I poured out Ortiz, Perkins, and Monasterio and Churio. Monasterio's been in the cooler for, you know, we almost didn't have a jersey for him. He hadn't played in so long. So it was like, it's a beautiful thing to see this kid rise to the occasion almost every time. So really cool.
And he's going to get those chances against lefties, right?
I mean, yeah, I think so.
The gig.
Yep.
Getting clean up tomorrow,
2-0. See, that's the other thing, Tyler. See what happens there? And Todd tries to be funny, which there's only one funny person in the room. Okay. Mark. Who is that?
You.
Exactly. So, well, let's not try to, you know.
Murph, in all seriousness, though, you mentioned Jackson. That's 11 multi-hit games for him since the All-Star break.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, pointed out by Grooman in the press box. Got to give him some credit. But
yeah, good thing Fasala would not have had that information.
No chance. But, I mean, just, again, you know, we asked you a lot about him, but just the adjustments that he's made, the maturity that he's showing.
His confidence is growing, man. Yeah. That's what it is. You know, he has a belief system that, like, I belong here. I've done it. And he did it with his head down and just – believing and at the same time going through it, you know, having to get through it and deal with the failure. And it's just a great, great story, you know.
Mark, the last two nights, 32 hits, 18 runs. I mean,
is that right?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to like how the group has, you know, bounced back after the tough weekend.
Yeah, I mean, again, when we're rating Major League Baseball, it's like every team can beat every team, you know, and it's teams are pretty close, you know, and it's winning pitches and really enjoying winning pitches and really proud of our guys, especially the young guys. I'm just proud of them. You know, people say they're tired, people say this and that, but it's really cool what they did. And the pitching staff, I mean, Freddie went out and did, it's a good lineup that just saw him a week ago. He did a great job. And then all the relievers, all four of them came in and they're all very good.
You leave a lot of guys on base early. Did you feel like eventually it was going to break through for you guys?
No, I didn't feel anything. You got Sale on the mound. This guy is capable of punching out anybody. It's really funky. It's he's one of the best in the business. You know what I mean? Like, and this guy's been doing it for years, but like, he's really talented at facing lefties. Or lefties have no chance, it seems like, but righties, he's really, really good. And he gave up some singles. And did we have an extra base hit? I mean.
Joey,
right? Double.
Joey. Yeah. Joey had the double off.
He had two doubles, didn't he, Joey? But not off Ortiz, not off Sale, yeah. But I mean, that was a ball down the right field line. You know, so it's like this guy's can shut out anybody in the game. He can shut out the All-Star team. You know what I mean? Like, we got fortunate and some balls squeaked through. We took some walks.
The approach is really good against him, though, wasn't it? I mean, he was 90-some pitches.
Right. That part was good. Right. I mean, we punched 12 times against him, but, again, he's that good, you know.
Murph, with Ortiz, I think it's being healthy again.
Yeah. Yeah, you come back from an injury, your first injury in the big leagues. You're being mentioned as a rookie of the year candidate, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're injured and you're trying to play with it, and then you go on the IL and you don't know what to think, and then you got to jump back in, and he jumps back in, and it's not going my way. I'm hitting balls hard and it's getting caught, and then you start losing confidence. This is a mental game. This whole thing is a mental game, and yeah, I'm really proud of him breaking through. It's just been about the last, you know, I don't know what game it was. He hit two line drives and got caught and then moved a guy over, but it was 0-for-3 night and a walk, 0-for-3 night. I told him, like, Joe, that was a great night. You had great at bats. Just stay with it. You know, and then the next night he lines out again to open the game. And then it's like, God. And then he got an infield hit. And he's like, God, I'm just like, what are you talking about? You know, You go to the All-Star game if you go 1-for-3 every day with a hard contact, you know, like and a walk. So stop being so hard on yourself, you know. But, yeah, it's great to see him grow from that. It's been about the last 5 or 6 games. And, Perkins is he's special, man. He's a special kid, man.
Do On the flip side, the inexperienced coin there is Gary. Do you like the, what you're seeing at the plate from him as well?
I mean, yeah.
He's taking some walks. He's getting his knocks.
Yeah, he got a huge knock force today, and yeah, he's a professional hitter, man. This guy's and he loves baseball. That's what I love about Gary, to have an older guy who loves baseball. You know? I do an imitation of him right now, but I'll save it because I don't need to dominate this with humor.
Gary loves baseball.
He does love baseball. He does love baseball. Gary's a good dude, man. I've had brief conversations with him, but Gary's sneaky, sneaky funny guy. Anyway, highlights coming up next. Brewers win 8-5 on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Gone!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers and Braves, game 2 of the series here at Truist Park. This one started out hot for the Braves against Freddy Peralta. They scored a pair of runs in the bottom of the first inning, aided by back-to-back doubles and a sacrifice fly. The Brewers wouldn't respond until the third inning against Chris Sale. They had been getting traffic, but then finally, a leadoff walk proved a crack in the door. Gary Sanchez is on first base, but with two outs and Joey Ortiz at the plate, you needed a well-placed double to score him.
1-1 pitch, Ortiz line drive down the right field line. It got past the first baseman Olson's reach and goes into the corner. To third base goes Sanchez. They're going to wave him home as the right fielder Soler bobbled it. He will score, and all the way to third goes Joey Ortiz. The Brewers are on the board.
Soler is not a good defensive outfielder. They had been a DH all year long. You could see why. So the Brewers are on the board. It's 2-1. The Brewers then, in the fifth inning, as Freddy Peralta would settle down, decided to reward their starter again against Chris Sale. They get their leadoff man on. Hoskins singled. Sanchez singled. They had men on the corners for Contreras and Adames, but both of them would strike out and leave things up to Joey Ortiz, who would line a single to left field with two strikes and two outs to make it a tie game. And then the big blow came on the very next pitch from Blake Perkins.
So now here's Blake Perkins. And the first pitch to Perkins, a ground ball through the right side and into right field for a base hit. Sanchez around third. He will score, and the Brewers have taken the lead in the fifth.
As quickly as they took the lead, though, they gave it back. A two-run homer from Austin Riley in the bottom of the fifth. So now the Braves have the lead 4-3. Chris Sale was chased from the game in the fifth. They got to Pierce Johnson, the reliever of the Braves. A leadoff walk in the sixth. Another walk to Hoskins. Then it was Gary again.
1-2. And Sanchez rockets one through the left side and into left field for a base hit. Churio around third. He's on his way home. The throw in will be cut off. And we are tied at 4. Gary Sanchez, with his second hit of this game, drives in his 28th of the season. And how about the at-bats the Brewers are getting from the big right-handed power hitter right now?
He's had a great week here on the road. The Brewers would have a couple groundouts, though. Then a clutch two-out walk by Joey Ortiz kept the inning alive. And with the bases loaded, there's Blake again.
1-1, and Perkins lines one into center. That's going to get down for a base hit. Contreras will score. Adames around third. The throw home hits the mound. Adames in there safely. And the Brewers have grabbed a 6-4 lead here in the top of the sixth.
They took the lead. They took Freddie out of the game in line for the win. Nick Mears, no problem in the sixth. Yoel Piamps, no problem in the seventh. Then it was time for some insurance. Joey Ortiz had the only two extra base hits of the night.
As Ortiz, a rocket inside the third base bag and down the left field line all the way into the corner. Adames racing around third. He's headed for home. And there will be no throw to the plate. Joey Ortiz gets the job done again. An RBI double. It's 7-4 Brewers.
16 hits, only two extra bases. Both of them, those doubles you heard from Joey Ortiz. Brewers would add another from an Andrew Monasterio RBI single. A run in late in the game by Jared Kelnick on a homer off Devin. But that was it. The Brewers win 8-5. They win the series, and they'll go for the sweep tomorrow. We'll give you the schedule and the rundown of events coming up next on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. Hi. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Real quick, some scoreboard watching here as we get ready to say good night. The Brewers, they win, but the Cardinals also win. So they remain six games up on St. Louis. The Pirates lost again, though, in extras today to the Padres, 9-8-10. So they are now eight games back, and they're a game under 500 now, having lost three games in a row. If the playoffs started tomorrow, which they don't, but if they did, the Brewers would be matched up with these Atlanta Braves. They're in the last wild card spot right now by a half game on the New York Mets. And tonight, the Mets, they were out in Colorado, and they won 5-3. Arizona swept the doubleheader with the Guardians today. They're in first in the wild card at 63-52 with the San Diego Padres at 63-52. Mentioned those Mets and the Braves. And then St. Louis is two games back of a wild card spot. So that is St. Louis' closest route to the playoffs right now, is trying to get in the wild card. They're still six games back of the Brewers in the division and still with six games left head to head. Tomorrow we are on the air bright and early, 10:45 Central Time for the On Deck Show, for an 11:20 Central Time first pitch. It'll be Charlie Morton for the Braves, Frankie Montas for the Brewers. No post-game show tomorrow, but I will have a pre-recorded, because I'm traveling, pre-recorded Brewers Weekly airing tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Central Time here on WTMJ. Fun one today. Go for the sweep tomorrow. My thanks to our producer, Max Meyerson. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.